Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Wednesday, looking back at yesterday's top posts from August 18th, 2026. This is episode 492, and we are so glad you are tuning in.
We have a really fantastic mix of stories today. We're going to talk about Seth Godin calling out Amazon's ad practices, Google buying up a bankrupt airline's data to feed its AI, some massive improvements coming to Linux 7.3 for GPU memory, a hilarious corporate parable about management consultants, and finally, a super creative hardware project that turns a moving train into a giant flatbed scanner.
Let us jump right into it with a post that got almost 1,000 points. It is by the marketing author Seth Godin, titled The Amazon Tax. Seth is pretty fired up about Amazon search ads, and he makes a compelling case that they are basically legal theft.
Right. He points out that Amazon makes nearly $1 billion a week in profit just from search ads. But his argument is that these are not traditional ads that create new demand. Traditional ads show you something new, spark a desire, and expand the market. Amazon search ads are zero sum. If you search for the best air fryer, Amazon already knows which one is best based on reviews and return rates, but they show you ads for other ones just to make a buck.
And it forces the maker of the best air fryer to buy ads just to protect their own organic search traffic. Seth's publisher actually tested this. They bid on the search term Seth Godin, The Knot, which is his new book. They were paying $1 a click to show an ad to someone who literally typed in the exact name of the book and the author.
The Hacker News comments really ran with this. A user named N. Diddy shared this perfect analogy. Imagine a restaurant owner hires 3 employees to hand out flyers with coupons. One employee consistently gets the most redemptions and gets huge bonuses. When the others ask how he does it, he says, "I stand in the waiting area of the restaurant and hand them to people waiting for a table."
That is exactly what is happening. You are paying a toll for your own customers. It's advertising as inference, not influence. Another commenter brought up the legal angle, asking if this is trademark infringement or fraud. But then someone else pointed out that physical grocery stores have been doing this for decades with slotting fees. You pay the supermarket for premium shelf space at eye level. It's the same business model, just digitized.
Still, it is frustrating as a consumer because it degrades the search experience. Seth points out a perverse side effect here. If producers realize that brand reputation matters less than having a massive budget for clicks, they are going to shift to making shoddy, cheap versions of their products just so they can afford the ad spend. It is a race to the bottom.
Speaking of corporate data grabs, our next story is wild. Google just bought the data of the failed U.S. airline Spirit at a bankruptcy auction for $10 million.
Spirit grounded itself back in May of this year, and as part of the liquidation, they auctioned off this massive trove of data. We are talking 100 million emails, 30 million recorded customer service calls, 15 million chat records, plus operational data like flight logs, crew pairings, and fuel slips.
And Google bought it specifically to train AI models. $10 million is absolute pocket change for them, but it shows how desperate these tech giants are for fresh, high-quality, real-world training data. The article mentions that AI researchers are finding smaller models trained on specific fields of knowledge are sometimes more useful than giant blunt instruments like large language models, so having deep aviation operational data is highly valuable.
The article mentions the data was supposedly de-identified, but the HN comments were incredibly skeptical about that. A user named XRD shared this crazy story about a flight to Brazil 20 years ago, where they had to make an emergency landing in the Amazon. He got into a huge dispute with the airline over missed business meetings, and he accidentally got copied on an internal email where the airline staff were discussing putting him on the no-fly list.
He raised a great point. How do you scrub a unique writing style or a highly specific heated customer service interaction from an AI training set? If Google trains a model on that, could his specific angry emails just get regurgitated by a chatbot?
It sparked a huge debate in the thread about airline liability, too. People were arguing back and forth about whether airlines should compensate you for missed business deals, comparing it to AWS service level agreements. Like, if AWS goes down, they refund your hosting cost. They do not pay for your lost startup revenue. It is fascinating to see how Hacker News analyzes the legal and technical boundaries of AI data scraping.
Moving from the cloud to the metal, we have a great technical post from Pixel Cluster's GPU blog about Linux 7.3 improving performance when running out of VRAM.
This one got over 500 points. Basically, the author got kernel patches merged upstream for Linux 7.3 that fix a massive headache for gamers and developers. Usually, when an application uses more video RAM than your graphics card physically has, performance just falls off a cliff, or the game crashes entirely with an out-of-memory error.
Right, because the system has to start moving data back and forth between the GPU and the regular system RAM over the PCIe bus, which is way slower. The author broke down the math. Even on a fast PCIe 4 connection, you max out around 32 gigabytes a second. If the GPU needs to fetch more than 1 gigabyte of evicted memory per frame, it is physically impossible to maintain 30 frames per second.
But the author explains that the bandwidth limit is not actually what causes the crashes. The crashes come from the kernel locking mechanism. When the GPU driver tries to prepare a submission, it has to lock every memory allocation referenced. If it runs out of VRAM, it has to evict something else. But if another process is doing the same thing concurrently, you get these chaotic out-of-memory errors, even though the system technically has enough regular RAM to handle it. The new patches smooth out this overcommitting process, so you just get a minor performance hit instead of a total crash.
The comments immediately turned into a support group for people dealing with out-of-memory freezes on Linux desktops. It is a classic Hacker News debate. Someone complained that on Windows or Mac, their system just slows down gracefully, but on Linux, the whole desktop environment freezes until the out-of-memory killer randomly slaughters a browser tab.
Yes, one user was going off about having to keep a terminal monitor open at all times just to watch their swap space. But then others jumped in defending the Linux approach, pointing out that macOS just hides the problem better by silently pausing specific background apps, and Windows has decades of legacy code specifically tuned to page memory to disk gracefully. Someone even linked to a classic Mark Rusinovich video explaining Windows memory management. It is one of those deep architectural trade-offs that Linux users love to argue about, but it is great to see the kernel getting better at handling these edge cases.
All right, let's lighten things up. The next story is literally a page from the corporate website of Iceland Foods, the British supermarket chain. It is titled, "Beware Management Consultants."
This is so funny. It's a little slideshow telling a satirical story about a boat race between a red team and a green team. Both teams have 8 people. The green team wins by a mile, so the red team hires auditors and finds out the green team had 7 rowers and 1 captain, while the red team had 7 captains and 1 rower.
So naturally, the red team hires a management consulting firm. The consultants analyze the data and restructure the team to have 4 captains, 2 managers, and 1 senior director, all managing the single rower.
They race again, and this time, the green team wins by 2 miles. So the red team fires the rower for poor performance, gives the managers a bonus for strong leadership, and outsources the rowing to India.
It is a classic corporate joke, but the fact that a major supermarket chain actually published this in their official company history section is amazing. The HN comments loved it. Someone pointed out that private or founder-led companies are allowed to be so much weirder and more idiosyncratic than standard public corporations.
Which led to this amazing tangent in the comments about Dr. Bronner soap. You know, the soap with the incredibly dense, unhinged text all over the bottle? A user mentioned the founder started it as a tax-exempt religious organization, and the label reads like stream of consciousness philosophy.
I love those tangents. Only on Hacker News do you start with a joke about McKinsey consultants and end up discussing the guerrilla marketing tactics of a soap company at Burning Man. But the core truth of the boat story resonated with everyone. As one commenter put it, referencing the movie Office Space, consultants are usually hired by senior management just to validate what they already wanted to do, so they have an expensive scapegoat when the plan inevitably fails.
Our last story today is a brilliant hardware hacking project. It is called Using the Railway Network as a Flatbed Scanner by a developer named Philo.
This is one of those projects that makes you remember why the internet is great. Philo took an industrial linear scanning camera, the kind normally used to inspect fast-moving conveyor belts in factories, and pointed it out the window of moving trains and ferries.
For context, a normal camera captures a whole grid of pixels at once. A linear camera just captures one single vertical line of pixels, but it does it incredibly fast. Philo's camera was capturing almost 19,000 lines per second. As the train moves forward, the camera stitches these single lines together to create one massive, continuous, ultra-wide panoramic image.
The results are absolutely stunning. There's a shot of a container port taken from a ferry in San Francisco that is 56,000 pixels wide. But getting there was a total nightmare for them. If the train changes speed even slightly, the image gets all stretched out or squished together.
Right. So Philo had to build a custom rig with a 3D printed case, a 6 degree of freedom accelerometer, a GPS unit, and a microcontroller just to measure the exact speed of the train in real time to adjust the image processing. And because the images were so massive, standard image viewers kept crashing. They actually had to write a custom graphic user interface using the Dear MGUI library just to preview the shots, because standard computer vision libraries were too slow and dropping frames.
The comments were full of people who had tried similar things. One user mentioned that Ward Cunningham, the guy who invented the Wiki, actually built a similar slit scan camera back in 2008 using an old Mac EyeSight camera pointed at the Amtrak tracks in Portland.
Another commenter brought up how this technique explains the weird visual effects you get when taking photos from high-speed trains like the Shinkansen in Japan. Because of the rolling shutter effect, vertical things like poles end up looking slanted. Another developer in the thread even shared their own custom image viewer they built specifically for these massive line scan photos. It is just a masterclass in combining hardware, math, and photography to see the world in a completely new way.
That is all we have time for today. It is always refreshing to see someone take a wild idea like a giant train scanner and just build it.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for episode 492. We hope you enjoyed the deep dives and the community insights. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best discussions from Hacker News. Have a great day.